The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Ohio State has required that all of its athletes returning in 2020 sign a coronavirus waiver. I think Ohio State is just the beginning. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation, 888-729-3776, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Will we hear from LeBron James? We hear from him so often. Will we hear from him on the return of the NBA? Is the most famous athlete in the world moving the levers of power to ensure that the NBA will come back in 2020. Plus, your calls at 888-729-3776. We've talked about Mike Gundy. We've talked about the direction of Black Lives Matter. I have your calls. I'll be talking to you throughout this hour here on the Will Cain Show. But our weekend homework last Friday was to go home and watch five sports movies since 2010. We drafted our favorites, and it went like this here. Nuno drafted Moneyball. I drafted Ford versus Ferrari. Pat drafted Creed. Bubba drafted The Fighter. And Mike A. drafted Warrior. All of us have watched all five of those movies. Now it's time for us to vote on who picked the worst of the five. For what it's worth, your scoreboard looks like this. Mike has three best movie wins. I have four. Bubba has three, Nuno has one, and Pat has zero. Perhaps more importantly for this segment, Pat has four worst place movies, worst last place movies. Bubba has three, and Mike A. has three. I have one, Nuno has zero. All right, fellas, let's open it up. Do we just vote? Is this how we do it? And then we fight about the vote? How do we do this? Well, all five of them were good. Every single one of these movies were good. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, I don't think any of them were terrible. I definitely enjoyed some more than others.
Not terrible. I think all five. I would recommend all five of them. Would you not recommend one of these movies?
I wouldn't recommend one of these movies.
Same.
Okay. Let me start.
Here we go.
I know what it is they're going to do.
Well,
too.
Listen. I'll start in a moment of honesty. For me, my least favorable one this whole weekend was Moneyball.
Your really? Own.
Yeah.
Your own.
Yeah.
You vote Moneyball last?
Yeah, I compared to all the other ones and the action and everything else, I just think, for me, Moneyball was the last one in my book.
Interesting. Let me go ahead and organize now how we vote. I'm going to vote second. I also am voting Moneyball last. I liked Moneyball. I like all five of them. But I just thought, in watching all these movies, it was the slowest. And I love the whole, as sports fans, all of us on the show, we're going to love the introduction of sabermetrics, and I love like value investing in sports and how you get, you know, wins where nobody else is looking. I love the philosophy of Moneyball, but as a movie, I just thought it was slower than the others. I vote Moneyball last. Now that's the reason I did that is I have a feeling where these two are going. Okay, Pat, which one do you vote last?
Warrior. Fairly significantly. Warrior
that is not wow. what I thought you wow. were going to do.
Wow!
Warrior took the plots of Rockies 1, 3, and 4, threw them in a blender, and vomited them out. It was not entertaining. It was not good.
Wow is right.
Wow.
I did not like it at all. I don't know what accents any of them had. I don't know. They all had different accents. I don't know what was going on there. The plot was kind of weird and pointless. He never felt like there were any viable threats at all except for the two brothers. So, I mean, the whole thing was pretty nonsensical.
Wow, Pat.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't like it at all.
I really like Warrior.
They literally just ripped off Rockies 1 and 4, but they did an MMA fight instead.
Well, you could say the same thing about The Fighter in a way. All boxing and fighting movies kind of follow the same script. Almost all of them do.
Yeah, everybody wants to see not the underdog win.
They even called him Rocky at one point. Like, it was so on the nose.
Rocky?
Yeah, when he first goes to the gym in Pittsburgh, I forget his name, Tommy, I think?
Yeah.
He goes to the gym in Pittsburgh, and he's like, hey, Rocky. It's like, all right, now this is so absurd. This is just ripping off Rocky so poorly.
Oh, maybe it's because he picked Creed. He thought it was a threat. I don't know. All right, Mike, yeah, you're voting for my movie. I can tell. What got last?
Listen, there was absolutely one that was clear last place. Well, I know you see it coming that it's Ford versus Ferrari, and it absolutely is not. It's Moneyball. I don't know where you got it that it was yours.
Oh, I thought
yours
you were going
yours is
for
absolutely
mine.
Not last.
Oh.
Moneyball is last.
I am shocked. I even organized the voting because I thought both Pat and Mike A were voting for Ford versus Ferrari last. So I was going to go 2-2 to Bubba. So you agree it's Moneyball. I thought you really duped me. I thought you were going to take Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, it's
just based on one text says it was long.
That I texted you 44 seconds into the movie, and I was like, uh-oh, this
is
long.
And then his movie is
and then mine turned out to be 220.
Right.
Granted, let's be honest. Ford versus Ferrari was exceptionally long for no reason.
They could have taken some out of that movie. I agree with you.
It was way too long.
They could have taken some out of that movie. That's a fact. Okay. Well, shoot. We already have a winner going
look at you.
In.
You're smiling. You're like, hey, I didn't finish last there. Good for me.
Well, Bubba.
Bubba, I mean, your vote doesn't matter now, but I'm curious. What got last
right,
place?
Yeah. Like, throwing in the caveat, all five are good movies, but I agree with the consensus. To me, Moneyball was number five. I enjoy it. I've seen it before. It's good, but I think it's a good story. The Billy Bean stuff is great, but when the movie overshadows the fact that they had the MVP and Cy Young on the team and no mention of that, and the art house stuff was completely wrong, it loses points in my book.
You did a story about that A's team without mentioning Mulder, Hudson, or Zito once.
Right, yeah. Right. That whole pitching
they
staff
won. They had
mentioned
the MVP and Cy Young on the
Miguel
team.
Miguel Tejada, who had like one line where they were like, hey, go hit, Miguel.
He's the one who told them, the soda cost a dollar. That was Miguel Tejada's contribution to the movie.
I don't know, guys. Ricardo Rincon was pretty good.
But, I mean, it's still the concept of what they did is still amazing. It's awesome, but
he had one line, and it was hola.
Yeah, you're right. No Miguel Tejada, and I agree. That pitching staff was key to everything.
Which was built a different way, not through the Moneyball. Either way, it's a great story. It just is the fifth, you know? So, you know, sorry, Nuno. He gets his first loss.
His first loss, dropping Nuno back to zero in the net points. One win, one loss for Nuno. He's back to zero.
Did you know that going in? Like, when you voted, did you think you were gonna finish last?
Oh, once, like, yeah, pretty much. It just, I don't know, like, once we went from 2010 on, like, it became a little tougher.
Can I say that I'm completely shocked by this outcome, by the way? Because I really like Moneyball, and it was my second favorite movie of the weekend.
Well, I think what you're going to find out, I'm not going to try to influence any voting. I think you are, as true to form, way outside the consensus on this one. Way. I mean, I can't believe you picked Warrior last. I really can't. So.
It was poor.
Oof. Yeah.
Pat. I'm starting to think a lot of your choices are just personal
against me.
Personal. Well, you or Bubba.
I mean, he's literally said it on the air.
I think he flips the coin and is just like, which one of those two am I going to hate on more today? Is it Bubba or Mike? And depending on how the weekend goes, it will make up his mind.
Yeah, I was kind of mean to him this weekend. It would make sense. It would make sense. It was me. This Nuno, you nailed it.
All right, this was the last place vote, so that's where we discuss Moneyball. But coming up in the third hour, we will vote on which was the best movie. I actually don't know which way that's going to go now. That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. Before we get out of here, let me hear from Chris in Florida. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how we doing?
Good. What's up?
Not much. So I want to completely disagree with you on the entire situation when it comes to the whole Utah thing. I feel like these college players are – I'm sorry. I probably got that wrong. But when it comes to the running back speaking up, they're finally getting a voice.
The Oklahoma State thing?
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And there goes all my credit.
don't worry, you'll save it, I'm sure.
Right out the window. But these college players finally have a voice now, and I feel like that's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, like he goes out there and completely takes away everything he said. So there goes the voice out the window. He's conforming. but he said what he wanted to say, and that's what's so great about this movement. His coach, granted, it's just a T-shirt, and I completely agree with that. It is just a T-shirt, but he's aware of social media, too. Everybody is. When you're putting something on social media, you are saying something, and he said something. He said he supports this radio station that is completely against the black
Chris, look, man. All right, I'm not going to try to dunk on you, but you what you're doing, because you hit one strike, two strikes, three strikes. You are undercutting your credibility because you're not getting much of this right. Okay, it was Oklahoma State. I appreciate the call, but I'm going to talk through it. It was Oklahoma State. It was head coach Mike Gundy. It wasn't a radio station. It was a television network, a cable news network called OAN. I have never watched 1 minute of OAN. But you just distilled it down, that entire network, into, I believe what you just said was anti-Black Lives Matter. Is that a fact or not? I'll let you decide. The fact of the matter is, though, we can't, it's great that people have voices. Then we talk about what you use that voice for. And what I have said from day one is when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement specifically, we're going to have a real conversation, which we have on this show, about the end goals and the meaning and the platform that you're signing up for every step of the way. And if you decline to, if that adds up to you're just a racist and you're canceled, what it says to me is you haven't answered those questions, and it's a trap. You can disagree with Mike Gundy. Hell, I probably do. I don't know everything or much of anything of what is said on that network. Again, I haven't seen 1 minute of it. But I do know that this movement has to be more than canceling a coach because you don't like a T-shirt or, at a deeper level, disagree with its politics. At what point do we stop surrounding ourselves in every walk of life? What we listen to, who we associate with, who we work with, who we watch on television, to only people who agree with everything we already think. When do you stop that? Coming up, Jeff Schwartz is going to hang out on The Will Cain Show.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I'm going to get to your calls in just a moment. Open forum here on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. But right now, former NFL offensive lineman and host of the Jeff Schwartz Is Smarter Than You podcast. It is Jeff Schwartz on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. What's up, man?
Not much. I'm a grown man with two kids watching another grown man play video games on Twitch. So I'm living the dream, man.
What are you watching? Big Cat?
Yeah.
Is he coaching Tennessee? Is that what he's with Doug's?
Yeah. It's the fourth quarter of his game against Kentucky. I just second guess him the entire time. It's my own little game.
It's funny that you're all in on that, watching these video games.
I never thought I would. I thought it was silly, and then I just get sucked in.
Those guys at Barstool have done an awesome job of creating content that engages people when there is no sports. But you know what? Yeah, I've seen you talk about this a little bit, and this is a perfect kind of almost segue into this question. I was talking about this earlier on the Will Cain Show. Listen to this question. I think you're going to disagree with it. But I look across the sports landscape, Jeff, and I say, okay, Major League Baseball's fighting over money. The NBA has openly embraced politics over the last couple of years. It's definitely said this is where we are on this side of the political aisle. Everybody says, oh, it's not political, it's human rights. I mean, we have to be adults about the fact that there are genuine disagreements in life, and they often manifest in politics. The NFL's sitting on the biggest divisive issue of the last 5 years, and college football is being, it's literally on top of an earthquake. Not just name, image, and likeness, but situations like with Gundy and coaches, traditions being questioned like the eyes of Texas. What I'm curious about is, do you think any of these sports or all of these sports' relationships with their fan base is in any jeopardy?
It's a good question. I think with maybe the older fans that aren't as politically inclined as the athletes are, look, we know that when you're younger, you tend to be a little bit one way, and as you get older, and I'm testament to this as well, I'm from California, I'm from Los Angeles, the older you get, you move a little bit different direction, right? And I think with older fans, maybe it's a turnoff, but look, I am a sports fan. I've been my entire life. I watched sports from the beginning I was born until obviously I'm watching sports now. It's not even real on my iPad. I have never felt that an athlete's political stance, whether I agree or disagree with it, whether I agree or disagree with, you know, what happened yesterday at Oklahoma State or what the Texas players are asking for to be changed there, it's never affected the way I view or the way I enjoy watching the sport that I like to watch. Basketball, baseball, I'm a huge baseball fan, football, obviously. Like, I just don't let it affect me. And I understand where people, especially now with not much happening, get really entrenched in the idea that I'm not going to like a sport because the athletes have a political view I don't agree with. I just don't let it bother me. And I just watch the games. And I consume the media. Like, I read, you know, a bunch of articles on teams I like and a bunch of stuff. Otherwise, it's my job, obviously, to do so. But it has never bothered me. So I do think it will turn some fans off. But I do think that diehard fans that have always loved a team or a sport, as much as they kind of complain that they might leave, you know, you might answer this better. Like, if Eyes of Texas gets changed, let's say it gets changed to something else, or the lyrics get changed, I would imagine that some older Texas fans would not buy tickets anymore. Am I right on that?
I think it will be much bigger than that, Jeff. I think it'll be a real big deal. I really do. Okay. And honestly, is that one even political? That's not even the situation you just described, right? Like, is that one?
I do not know. I didn't even look at the lyrics in the song. I know what the fans want changed. I mean, not the fans, the players want changed. I've covered. I have not looked at the lyrics of the songs. I couldn't give you my opinion on what's happening with the actual lyrics there.
Well, here's my position, and maybe that's a great proxy, the Eyes of Texas, because what we're looking at is not just, I think, just as you described it. It's not just a fan going, well, am I going to watch something with people who disagree with me? Look. Let's be real, okay? If you're a conservative in the United States of America, you're well-versed in this. You've been doing it for a long time. You've been watching movies for 30, 40 years, and you know damn well everybody in there doesn't like your politics. They tell you about it all the time. So that's not like, that's not the dividing factor here. What's going on is something else, and I think the Eyes of Texas is a great emblem of it. What you're doing is you're telling a great percentage of your fan base, hey, that thing you know and love, and that thing that you have even rationalized and you've looked into the history of that you think is very important to your tradition, it's actually evil and it's actually racist, and you might be too if you embrace it. And I don't know that you can tell your fans that kind of message over and over and expect them to keep being a patron of your product.
Well, I definitely think that you're accurate and that it will rub people the wrong way. But also, look, it's the first time in my life, we're close to the same age, where I've ever seen college athletes demand any changes like the Texas student athletes have, right? I mean, they want buildings changed, names, they want, statues taken down, they want the fight song changed. I mean, they might not know the same or have the same concerns that you have about alienating the fan base, right? I mean, just something that they decided that they wanted players to put out there. Right. And, yeah, the players, you know, they might not understand everything that you just mentioned because they're 18, 19, 21 years old. You might tell them, like, you know, if you sat down with the players, you might explain this all to them, and they might say, you know what, you have a good point. I don't know if they've heard the other side of the argument about why they should or should not change the name or the lyrics or the fight song in general. Like, I'm not sure they've been presented with the other side right now. They're still young. I mean, look, we're seeing now, obviously, college kids
have more of a voice. I mean, what obviously happened at Oklahoma State yesterday, and it moves quickly. I mean, the video was put out 3 hours later with Gundy and Hubbard at least talking it through on camera for 45 seconds. It moves fast. I think college players are figuring out that, A, they do have a voice, and how are they going to use that voice, because they've never really had any power to say what they want or say what they feel. And I think it does take some refining to figure out your message. And I think the Texas players, to your point, might not have heard the other side about why the fight song and why people who support the fight song might feel that way.
Well, I like how you said that. They have a voice, perhaps for the first time, and there's going to need to be some refinement on how that voice is. Even the Gundy thing. You know, look, so what? Worst case scenario, you disagree with Gundy vociferously on politics? Well, I mean,
yeah.
What does that have to do with being a football coach, right? If there's a bigger case to be made about the culture at Oklahoma State, I'm here to hear it. But if it's just about a T-shirt, I mean, come on. Like, is that the refinement of a voice?
I don't think it was that. See, this is the thing. Is like, the more you read about what's happened there, what people have accused Gundy of saying and doing, the less I think it was about the shirt. I feel like the shirt was like the final straw. I mean, look, we're married. Like, if our wives blow up with us, it's typically just not the thing we just did, why they're angry. It's something else. And it feels like that's what happened here, that this was maybe the last straw on a cultural change that the players have wanted for a while. And this was like the thing that just set off Hubbard. He just had to tweet about it and make it known. I think it was not really about the shirt. I mean, I can't imagine that everything was fine and he saw the shirt and was like, oh, this is it. I can't stand Gundy anymore.
Well, that's possible. That just needs to be explained. That has to be explained if everybody's going to call for Gundy's head, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think he called for him to be fired, though. And I also think that, again, this is the first time a lot of these guys have...
But
right,
I know. That snowballs fast.
Yeah, I know. But social media, like, we know it's not real life, I hope. And I know that a lot of decisions, unfortunately, are made because of social media, and that shouldn't be the case. But I talked about this on my show today. Like, it's the first time Hubbard has probably ever spoken out against a coach in his life like that. And I don't think he really... knew the life it would take.
Right. All right, I got to go. I'm up against it. Jeff, always love having you on the show, man. Get back to Tennessee's fake football.
All right, take care, bud.
Right. Hopefully Big Cat wins. Okay. Coming up, open forum, your phone calls, 888-729-3776. Plus, isn't it time for LeBron James to step up and ensure that the NBA comes back? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
See, I got Bubba's number. I know what he's doing. That's the walk-up song for Irish Mickey Ward. Coming up in about 1 hour here on The Will Cain Show, we'll vote on our favorite sports movie since 2010. It's The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me go to the phone lines where I have P.I. What's up, P.I.?
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on, Will?
What's up? I'm good.
Not much. Okay, so I just wanted to get at you real quick, and I almost want to call a fraud alert to kind of keep it light because it's a serious topic, but I just think you're being really fraudulent with, like, your conversation. I don't even think you even noticed it. Let me tell you why. Okay, so if it's okay for an owner to not hire Colin Kaepernick because it's popular, by popular means your customers don't want you to do it, that's popular, right? Then why is it not okay to jump on Black Lives Matter movement because it's popular right now? Like, why is that such a big deal to be a part of the majority, like the way things swing, when almost everything you talk about is whether the majority likes it or not?
I don't think there is anything majority, wrong with it.
Well, I guess my point is you kind of knock a lot of people down for supporting the movement or for corporations sending out their tweets or people jumping on Mike Gundy if everybody thinks that's the popular thing to do. But if people feel like it's right and it's popular, what's so wrong with that? When almost all decisions we make in America is because they're popular. That's kind of how this majority thing, like, it's always about the majority. So if the majority of people on Twitter or Instagram want to support Black Lives Matter and they want to roast Mike Gundy about a T-shirt, then why can't they do that? Why does it have to be so weak? Like, in your eyes, it's such a weak thing to be following this movement. But my bigger point is, Will, you have to stop comparing this to everything else. Me and you can be friends on almost any level. Mm-hmm. Racism is a deal breaker, bro. If you're racist, we can't be friends. I will cancel you. I don't need to call you anymore. I don't need to listen to your show if you're racist. I don't think you are. So if people are flirting with it, we want to know. This is almost like a public town hall. Everybody's called to the carpet. It's not like everything else in the world. It's not like politics. It's not whether you're socialist or capitalist. You think you should keep all your money, or whether you think the poor need help. No. Holding people down and having people in slavery and racism is the worst sin as a human being. There's nothing worse outside of murder. There's nothing to compare to it. So you have to respect that. You can't keep comparing it to everything else, like, oh, this is popularity contest and we're moving too fast. No, we're moving as fast as it needs to go, because it needs to go. It is not like everything else. The Trump thing and the politics and all of that is not because he's a Republican. People think he's racist, man. That's different. So I don't want you to, like, not support it or not have your argument about it, but you got to understand what waters you're walking in when you're constantly supporting it, because it's not like anything else. And if you can compare it to anything else, please let me know any other sin that we right now in the 2020s are going to regret, like slavery or racism. So if you want to take it all down, we shouldn't have to regret that, dude. We're fine compared to those people. We're good.
Okay.
Our generation is going to be okay.
Now, I would like to respond, okay? So you stay on hold, and you can hear me, but I'm going to respond in full to a lot of this, okay? A couple of things we need to point out. First of all, the idea that majority rules is true when it comes to business. I have a lot to say, P.I., so I hope you listen to all of it. The idea that majority rules is something that certainly applies when it comes to the world of business. It's not something that comes unadulterated to the world of policy and decision-making. There's a reason we have a constitution. The purpose explicitly is to stand against majority rules. It's the idea that certain principles are eternal and they are not to be voted on by the majority. So, the majority rules except when principles are in play. Now, P.I., I like the hell out of you. And of all the people who've ever called into this show, I do consider you a friend. But it is not for you, quite honestly, to decide or tell me whether or not I am racist or what waters I swim in. I know who I am. It is not for you to define. It doesn't matter how close we get or how many conversations we have, you don't get to define that for me. And I won't change my points of view based upon the threat that somebody might call me that name, even people that I care about. That's a hard decision to make on a daily basis. I ask myself, what if somebody I care about decides, because of an opinion that I have, that I know is grounded in principle, would call me a name? And I will tell you what I choose each and every day. I will choose principle and who I know I am. Every single time, P.I., 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, every single time. Now let's bring this back. Why does it bother me then? Why do I question people and their fidelity or their sincerity to a movement? Because I don't think people are making those choices, because I think they're selling out principles based upon the threat of being called a racist. Not unlike what you just said to me, the waters I'm swimming in. So let's just talk about the waters I'm swimming in, okay? Everything is called racist. It doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist for me to walk down this line. I've acknowledged that on numerous occasions here on the Will Cain Show. But more important than that, and I'm not going to go through the litany or do, my life reflects that I know that racism exists, and I choose to live a life that does not indulge in, yes, that very ugly sin. But that doesn't mean that I need to therefore go through life calling every single thing racist. That is what everything is called right now. And you're right, I'm somebody that goes, no, no on that, no on that. No, there's a principle in play. And so, as I watch, do I question everybody that joins Black Lives Matter? Heck no, I don't. But I do wonder, what exactly are they signing up for? What exactly does it mean? Because it has not been, look, let's be real about it. At this point, 5 years in, as I asked yesterday, the end game has not been defined. The end goal has not been stated. Is it? To do away with something like the Eyes of Texas under the threat that somebody yells that's racist? No, can't do it. Is it to take everybody who disagrees with you, potentially a television network, a news network that you don't like, and call it racist? No, Can't do it. Is it to take everybody who disagrees with you politically and call them racist? Nope. Nope. Can't do it. Is it to take this statue down, that statue down, this statue down? If you don't, you're racist? No, I don't think that's a real... Is it, how about this? I saw Rex Chapman tweet this the other day. He tweeted, and I like Rex Chapman a lot, but he tweeted this. If you say most cops are good, that's a racial litmus test. What he means by racial litmus test is if you say that, you're racist. Most cops are good. Nope. Nope. Won't do it. Can't sign up for it. But do you want to have real conversations about educational disparities in this country? I'm here for that. Do you want to talk about the quiet little conversations or the choices people make about what neighborhoods they'll go into or where they'll send their kids to school? I'm here to talk about that. You want to talk about the way people post on social media and proclaim to others about their virtue, but I watch the choices they make in life about whether or not that's racist? I'm down for that. But if it is all this crap on a daily basis that you have to sign up for or you're racist, nope. Nope. Won't sign up for it. Not under any threat. Not even under the people that I love. Not even with the people that are my friends. I'll stand with the principle. 10 out of 10 times. And I wish more people did. Because the truth is, that's where real authenticity is. That's where real friendship is. That's where real allies are found. That's where real problem solvers exist. This other BS floating around out there on a daily basis just pulls you in different directions. You can call it waters. You can call it whatever you want. One day it'll be focused on whether or not we should use the word owner in the NBA. The next it'll be focused on a song. The next it'll be focused on a t-shirt. It'll all be utter garbage. Designed, you know what I think? Ultimately, designed for two things. To ensure that no progress is ever sought. And to make the speaker feel good about themselves. Nope. Nope. I won't do that either. Now I ask Piotr to be on hold. I have to go to a commercial break. I'll let him respond if he'll hold through the commercial break next on The Will Cain Show.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, I got a little worked up there. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Nuno says I have to lighten it up at some point because I got worked up there. But live in the moment. All right, I promised P I would be able to respond to everything I just said. He, I believe, is still on hold through the commercial break. If for whatever reason you just now turned on your radio, if you just now tuned in to the show, go to the Will Cain Show podcast feed. Listen to the previous 10 minutes. You'll hear the conversation between P.I. and myself, what he said to me, what I said in response, and you'll catch up to what P.I. is now about to respond again. What's up, P.I.?
What's up, Will? Yeah, you need to lighten up a little bit, man. First of all, I was definitely not trying to say you are racist or anything of the like. I was pointing out the fact that I don't think you are, which is why I always come back to the show. And nothing you really do gives me that feeling, even though you do some things that some people may think are fringe or lean one way or the other. I never feel like you're racist. That's the point that I was making. That's something that would end our friendship. That's the reason I was saying that is because that's bigger than anything else. And that's like, you need to take the gravity of that too when you're arguing on either side of it, that this point is bigger than anything else. We're not talking like economics or anything. Anything can't really compare. But the other point I wanted to make was...
So if we... Okay, I know you weren't calling me that. I think I knew that. I got worked up, but I did feel like you were saying to me, you know, if you keep swimming in these waters, I can't call you.
No, that's not what I was saying. You have your opinions. Those are fine. What I'm saying is people get worked up about your opinions because just like you just had your opinions where I'm not going to join Black Lives Matter if they're going too far in this. They're going too far in that. Things are moving too fast. I can challenge you on that, but you shouldn't be so upset that people on the other side say, man, I hear this song and I don't like this. I'm challenging this now. You know what, coach? I don't like
that
shit
you
got on.
Yeah, but how about this, P.I.? If we agree that racism is a serious charge, like you just said, if I could agree, the gravity of that, absolutely. The importance, then it shouldn't be thrown around willy-nilly either. It shouldn't be the response to, you know, come on, P.I., do you think right now that is something that is being lobbed as an accusation judiciously? Do you really think, like, everything we're throwing racism at right now qualifies as racist?
No, not everything. I think most of it is, though. I think this is the main point I wanted to make. Yeah, no, let me. I just want to wrap up because I don't want to take up your whole show. Okay. This is the kind of analogy I wanted to make, right? If you have a friend that your wife thinks flirts with her too much, you know what you want him to stop doing? Anything that seems like he's flirting. At some point, you just get there. Like, there's no more jokes, dude. I'm calling everything to the carpet. My eyes to everything. And your friend may feel like that's a little much, but for your wife, you may go that far. So just think about it in the terms of, this is so serious that I'm calling everything to the carpet right now while I can. And maybe sometimes it will rub you wrong, Will, because I know you're not into the mob mentality stuff, but don't be so quick to belittle stuff and say, oh, everybody's jumping on the popularity train, or everybody just wants to do what they seem like everybody else is doing. Well, if they are doing that, how about you don't call them out for that right now? Because it's the right thing to actually do, to call people out for racism.
I totally disagree with that, P.I.
Some stuff you got to defend, dude. Like,
no.
I don't like this shirt you got on. I think that shirt defends a racist network. Coach, you got to talk to me about that. Maybe it's too far to go to Twitter, but sometimes the coach says, hey, man, go play. Well, right now I'm not going to play. I don't want to play for you if I think you're racist. I want you to tell me that you're not. I'm at that point now. I don't want to play with it anymore. I don't want to feel a certain type of way when I'm around this person or that person. I'm done feeling like that. I just want to call it all to the carpet. And if you're righteous and you're right, like I think Will Cain is, you defend it. You don't apologize. You tell me how you feel, and then we go our separate ways, and we're still cool. You don't have to apologize for everything. But you don't have to dismiss everything either, right?
This is what I think. I'm going to let you go on this one, P.I. I always appreciate the call and appreciate the conversation. I got to watch my clock and move towards something. This is what I think. I think that Black Lives Matter as a movement would be best served to identify specific goals that it hopes to accomplish, and that within those goals you can have debate and agreement or disagreement on whether or not those are progress or regression. I think that would be very, very helpful. I think that racism exists in this society at an interpersonal level, and the way to handle that is choose who you associate with, and yes, to call it out at times, but I think that that accusation is being lobbed liberally across society, and it's not going to be me. I'm not going to be one who lets it go. I'm just not. I think the world suffers from a lack of strength. I think the world is taken away by weakness right now. And I think that if somebody doesn't say, hey, that's too far, that's too much, you're firing that person, you're canceling that person, you're making that bad assumption about that man's character, or you're doing this, or that doesn't mean that, then if you do that, if somebody doesn't stand up, then A, everything will be gone. I mean, everything, because why wouldn't it? We're throwing bombs. We're not shooting rifles at targets here. And B, you'll totally take the teeth out of the charge of racism. That's happening anyway, for what it's worth right now. You'll totally take the teeth out of it. You'll take the teeth out of that accusation, the meaning of it. You'll actually, I'm going to make one last thing, and I hope you're still listening to P.I. out there. You're going to swing the pendulum back the other way. Because if you tell good people they're bad, sooner or later they're going to be like, well, what is the point? What is going to happen? There's going to be an ugly reaction. It's not what anybody wants. None of that. Let's lighten it up next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.